Chapter 50. The Potency of Envy. We made our way down, Sidney Grice placing both feet on every step before continuing to the next one. "Did you find it?" Lucy looked up, her face lined with worry.
"Find what?"
He touched the side of his nose as if checking that the freckle had not leapt onto him.
"The room."
"I should be a poor detective, which I am not, if I had not," my guardian said severely. "I also managed, without recourse to Miss Middleton's assistance, to locate the chest you so sparsely described to us."
Lucy plucked at her cheek.
"And did you find anything in that?"
Mr. G brought a flat calico pouch from his satchel.
"Other than what you had already told me,"
he placed the pouch and his cane on the table.
"Nothing."
Lucy pulled her right sleeve down from the quarter inch it had risen.
"Then you have wasted your time," she sympathized.
Sidney Grice twiddled his long, slender fingers.
"On the contrary, there are times when finding nothing can tell one a great deal."
He slipped the diary into the cloth bag.
"What are you doing?"
Lucy asked. But she had clearly got the measure of the man, for she added hastily,
"Well, I can see what you are doing. Why are you taking Freddy's diary?"
"It is."
I am almost certain that Mr. G winked at Lucy Bocking as he put the bulging bag into his satchel.
"Evidence."
"I did not say that you could take it."
Her eyes darted side to side. My guardian strapped his satchel shut.
"A truthful and pertinent assertion."
He retrieved his cane.
"I should like to see the vessel in which it was contained."
"It was not in anything," Lucy said distractedly. "What if Freddy should look for it?"
"You need have no fear on that score," he vowed. "She will not find it."
"But what would I say?"
Lucy looked round for an escape route.
"I imagine that you would lie and deny all knowledge of it."
Sidney Grice ambled to the door.
"Goodbye, Miss Bocking. I anticipate us renewing our acquaintance in the very near future."
"When is Freddy due back?"
I asked, and Lucy looked at the clock.
"In about an hour."
"Are you really afraid of her?" I asked. "I can stay, or help you to book into a hotel."
"No,"
Lucy waved a hand wearily.
"I do not think she will try anything whilst you are both protecting me."
"I most certainly am not,"
Sidney Grice retorted, as if she had made an improper suggestion, and, bidding her a fond farewell, ambled from the room.
"I hope he knows what he is doing," Lucy said, as I kissed her goodbye.
"Of course he does," I said firmly, but thought, "I hope so too." My guardian was already boarding a hansom when I caught up with him.
"Do you think Lucy is right to be afraid?"
I began breathlessly, and Sidney Grice gave my question some thought.
"Miss Bocking may have grounds to be very frightened indeed,"
he decided at last,
"though not, one might hope, for her sake, petrified. Being petrified does not benefit one in the slightest."
"I know you were always telling me not to judge people by my feelings about them."
I tailed my own sentence off.
"Good,"
he said so abruptly that I knew there was no point in adding "but." But I truly believed that Freddy Wilde loved Lucy Bocking, and that Lucy had been telling the truth when she said they were like sisters.
"Never underestimate the potency of envy to corrupt the human spirit,"
my godfather philosophized.
"But surely, Freddy—"
I stopped, aware that I was again doing what he was always telling me not to do.
"I have made a study of the way people position their bodies,"
Sidney Grice orated now, in the same manner as I had once heard the Earl of Kimberley make a speech in Parliament.
"It is a minor branch of the forensic sciences which I call Grice's posturology, and it seems to me that there is a certain tension between Mrs. Bocking and Wilde."
"But do you really think it could be envy?"
"Where there are women, there is always envy."
He brought out his coffin-shaped snuff-box and flipped open the skeleton-engraved lid.
"But surely Freddy is grateful to Lucy for taking her in."
He took a pinch, although the box was empty, and deposited it
into the hollow of his thumb web.
Are you grateful to me?
Sometimes.
Gratitude.
He closed his right nostril and inhaled sharply through the left.
Is the second shortest lived and the most easily poisoned emotion known to man. There are few things which people hate more than being constantly in another's debt.
Besides which, I contributed, Lucy is rich and will be pretty again, whereas Freddy's looks and fortune have been lost forever.
At last!
He sucked through his right nostril.
You are starting to think like a woman.
He put a finger under his nose to suppress a sneeze. Is that a good thing? Mr. G snapped the lid shut.
Disgusting habit.
He blew his nose, and I was not sure if he meant thinking like a woman or the taking of non-existent snuff.